This week is Parsha Shlach. So the Rebbe says that Parsha Shlach and this idea, which is the koyach of Sivan, meaning the ultimate strength of this month to make Torah and mitzvahs and Hashem's presence in this world permanent, is in this Parsha. The whole Parsha talks primarily about sending spies, but for what purpose? To conquer Eretz Yisrael. The whole point was to conquer the land of Israel. And the whole point of conquering the land of Israel was to bring godliness down into the land of Israel. In fact, as we know, that as long as the Yidden were in the desert, even though they brought godliness into the world, but it really wasn't bringing godliness down to the lowest, simplest level of this realm. Because in the desert, they lived a life of miracles. Everything was miraculous. The food they had was miraculous. The clothing they wore was miraculous. The water they had was also miraculous. For a well to travel with them is a miracle. So it means their whole existence was miraculous. They had the ananim, they had the clouds protecting them, and the clouds followed them. And at night, they had a cloud that was lit up, and that led the way. And the clouds flattened out the way, and the clouds got rid of scorpions or snakes. So it means their whole existence was miraculous. And even though that they experienced godliness, but we couldn't say that they experienced godliness in the very down-to-earth physical existence, because they were living in a spiritual bubble. So the whole point of going into Eretz Yisrael is, now we're coming to a time to go into the land and to live a life and bring godliness into a world of nature. In fact, this is the deeper reason why the spies didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, because otherwise it's a shocking story. These spies weren't ordinary people. They were the most chosen of the nation. And who chose them? Moshe Rabbeinu. And why was he the one that chose them? So the Gemara says, because he knew them. He knew who they were. And each one was the head of the tribe. And these were great people. So obviously the fact that they were they were reluctant to go into the land came from a positive place, not from a negative place. So it says in Chassidus, what was behind it? What behind it was, they wanted to live a more of a spiritual existence, which is the way it is in the Midbar. Living in a spiritual bubble, very protected. And what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, what Hashem wanted, is that the time has come to go into the land. It wasn't just a geographic change. Here we're in the desert, and here we're in the land. It was a spiritual change. In the land, there'll no longer be clouds, there'll no longer be water in a miraculous way, the food won't be coming in a miraculous way, the clothing won't be growing miraculously. Everything will have to come through the order of nature. So in other words, the whole purpose of Shlach, of this Parsha, it was all about bringing godliness into the most physical, down-to-earth existence. And that's really the ultimate purpose of Torah. Because before the Torah was given, the angels also could have had the Torah up there in heaven and studied Torah in some sort of higher spiritual plane. So everything that revolves around Matan Torah, it's all about bringing Torah and godliness and spirituality into this existence, that it should penetrate the physical world. And that's the ultimate purpose of creation. So now the Rebbe connects this thought to what Chav Ches Nissen is to us in our generation. What's Chav Ches Nissen? So again, Chav Ches Nissen is the day that the Rebbe came to America. Why is that so significant? So first of all, it's significant because the Rebbe's life was saved. Where was the Rebbe coming from? The Rebbe at that point was in France. France was occupied by the Nazis. Every Jew who lived in France, his life was in danger. So the fact that the Rebbe was able to escape France and come to America means that on this day we can consider his life safe. The Friedrich Rebbe had another daughter and another son-in-law that unfortunately were killed by the Nazis. And you see in the letters how he's writing to lawyers and the State Department in America, begging and pleading to send visas to both son-in-laws. This son-in-law, that didn't succeed. Unfortunately, they were both killed. And the Rebbe's son was saved. So that alone is enough of a reason to celebrate. But the Rebbe explained that there's much more significance to the dates, and that is that the Friedrich Rebbe coming to America and the Rebbetzin coming to America a year later wasn't just a geographic change for them, but it was basically a spiritual change in terms of where the world stands and in terms of preparing the world for Mashiach. And this is based on a talk that the previous Rebbe gave about his coming to America, and the Rebbe's coming to America was just a continuation of that. The Friedrich Rebbe says that America is considered Chatzi Kader HaTachton, which means the lower half of the globe. Which is the lower half? Depends which side you hold the globe. So obviously the higher half is considered where Eretz Yisrael is, and this is the lower half. And what's so significant about the lower half of the globe? This is the place that Matan Torah didn't take place in this half of the globe, but in the other half of the globe. What does that mean? To simplify it, when Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, it was given to observe any place in the world. But we know that anything spiritual that happens in a place, it has an impact on the place. Right now we're studying Torah in this room. So besides the fact that it affects our minds and our hearts, it has an effect on the building that we're in. And if a person studies Torah in their home, it has an effect on their home. And the truth is, not only the home, but if the home has Torah in it, it's like a light that it spreads. It has an effect on your street, on your neighborhood, on your city. And the real truth is that anything we do has an effect on the whole world, on the whole universe. And the real truth is that not only does it affect this universe, it affects all the worlds. Any act of holiness that a person does. But the effect that it has further away is less noticeable. Where is it mainly noticeable? Where do we see the impact more? In the close vicinity. So therefore, when the Torah was given, it was given at Har Sinai, and it was observed and studied and practiced for thousands of years in the part of the globe which is the higher part of the globe. This part wasn't even discovered. So it's only recent that people are doing Torah mitzvahs here. So therefore, generally speaking, this is considered the lower part of the world, because for thousands of years there hasn't been the observance of Torah mitzvahs in this place. Rather, it was only in the other part of the globe. So why now? And the answer is because, being that the time has come for Mashiach, so for Mashiach to come, we need the whole world to be elevated and the whole world to be transformed. So number one, we have to reach the second half as well. And number two, it's more than that. When it comes to Matan Torah, and it's explained in Chassidus and Kabbalah, why there was so much emphasis on Hashem giving the Torah to the physical world and penetrating the physical world, there's a mashal that's given. The mashal is that when you have a building, and the building is many stories high, if you want to lift the whole entire building at once, the way to do it is to lift the bottom floor. And once you lift the bottom floor, being that all the other floors are sitting on that first floor or on that foundation, they'll all be lifted. But if I would lift the top 10 floors, everything else stays here. So the only way to lift everything is go to the bottom, pick it up from the bottom, and everything is lifted. By us learning Torah and observing mitzvahs in the bottom floor, which means the physical realm, all the spiritual world and all the spiritual existence, everything that exists, which is infinitely greater than what we could see, it's all lifted and elevated through us doing mitzvahs in this physical realm. So the Rebbe says if that's the case, the same principle applies to our world itself. That when the time comes to elevate the whole world in the most complete way, Torah and mitzvahs have to be brought to the place in the world, in the globe, which is the lowest part of the globe. Lowest meaning spiritually lowest. And by us learning Torah and doing mitzvahs here, and studying Chassidus in this part of the world, that elevates the whole entire world. In fact, since the previous Rebbe came to America, and since the Rebbe followed that a year later coming to America, all the activities of spreading Yiddishkeit and spreading Chassidus actually came from here to the rest of the world. So this is the significance of this day, that this is the day that the wellsprings of Chassidus were transferred to this part of the world as a preparation for Mashiach. And here the Rebbe said a lot of interesting things. Let me see if we have time. It would be much easier if you can follow inside. But I didn't have the time to do the copy, so I'll just try to give it over as much as I can. This is a very unique sikha with the Rebbe. First of all, he spoke about the fact for many years, the source and the place which was the source where Chassidus came from to affect the whole world was in Lubavitch, in a city in White Russia called Lubavitch. But then, when the wars began and chaos began, that's when Lubavitch had to move. And it moved numerous times. First, from the city of Lubavitch to a city called Rostov. This was yet the Rebbe Rashab in 1915 or 16. And then Lubavitch moved from Rostov to what we call today Petersburg. Then it was called Leningrad. And there was a time where Lubavitch moved to a city called Malachovka, which is near Moscow. And then after the Friedrich Rebbe was released from jail, he moved from Russia to Riga. And then from Riga, he moved to Poland. And in Poland itself, he moved first to Warsaw, and then Warsaw, and then he went to a city called Otwock. And then from there, he came to America. And this was the final place where he settled. So this was, again, not just geographic change, but spiritually, there was a chain of events. And finally, this became the place which is becoming now the source of inspiration of Torah and Yiddishkeit in the whole world from here. And in here, the Rebbe said, Bashgacha Prati is the place that the Friedrich Rebbe chose, was this building, which people call it 770. The Rebbe usually didn't refer to it that way. It's more like casual language. But here the Rebbe spoke about the fact that it's called 770. And being that everything is Bashgacha Prati, everything is by divine providence. So even the fact that it's called 770 and the building is number 770 is also with a divine plan. What is it? So the Rebbe says that seven in Chassidus represents completion, because there are seven midas, seven attributes. And that's why there's so many things in Yiddishkeit that are seven. Where does the number 7D come from? Because every attribute consists of all the other 10, like in the counting of the Omer. So if you have seven attributes and each one consists of 10, you have 70. So where do you get the number 700 from? Because every one of these attributes which consists of 10, if it consists of 10, then you have 70 times 10 is 700. In other words, in different words, this number 770 represents the completion, which is where we're up to now, a time that we have to complete the Aveda of Golus. And in fact, the gematria, the numerical value of the word paratzta, is the same as the number 770. And that's because from this place, Chassidus has to spread to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. As the pasuk goes, Pratta Yom Avakeid Metzafein of Enegma. The Rebbe said in that sicha that being that this is the place that's preparing the world for Mashiach, so certainly this will be the place where the light of Mashiach will be revealed first in this building, 770, and then from here it'll be spread to the rest of the world. In fact, that year was the year that the Rebbe was repeating constantly that this year, meaning the year that we saw the Persian Gulf miracle and the war and the miracles in the war, that's the year that the Medrash says that Mashiach will make an announcement and tell the world the Giz Mangolascha. Where will the announcement come from? It'll come from the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rebbe said the roof of the Beis HaMikdash is a metaphor. Why? Because if it would mean physically Mashiach is standing on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and making an announcement, once the Beis HaMikdash is built, you don't need someone to announce that the Geula is coming, because that's already something which in itself is one of the signs that the Geula is there. So what does it mean standing on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash? So Rebbe says it means the roof of the Beis HaMikdash is an interesting thing. It's part of the building, but halachically it doesn't have the same laws of holiness like the actual building. In the building itself, for example, someone who's not pure is not allowed to go in, and going in is punishable by death. The roof of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have that holiness, even though it's the same building, but that's the roof. So the Rebbe says the roof of the Beis HaMikdash is a metaphor for a place which is like the Beis HaMikdash, but halachically doesn't have that holiness. And what is it? So at a later point, the Rebbe elaborated more that it says in Gemara that in every generation there's a shul, and that shul is considered the Beis HaMikdash of the time of Golus. And in every generation, it's the shul which belongs to the Nasi of the generation. So therefore, 770, which is the shul of the Nasi of the generation, is considered the Beis HaMikdash of our generation. And that's where this announcement is coming, Anav Megiyus Mangolaschem, to tell everyone that the times of redemption has arrived. So this is a sikh where the Rebbe spoke in a very strong way, in a very open way, about the fact that this is a place where the light of Mashiach and the light of the third Beis HaMikdash will be revealed here, and from here we'll go to Yerushalayim. I remember once reading somewhere where someone was being that we still don't have the complete Geula, so sometimes it happens that sometimes somebody wants to say something not so nice. So somebody was making fun of what we say. They say that the Lubavitchers say that Beis HaMikdash will not be in Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash is going to be in New York. It's against halacha. There's no such thing. And if all you need to do is look inside, what the Rebbe says here is that the Beis Hamikdash will be in Yerushalayim. Not only that, that's one of the signs of Geula, if it's built in the exact spot where it was before. Mashiach has to build it in the exact spot, and then we know that this is Mashiach. But what the Rebbe is saying is that the Beis Hamikdash isn't just a building. The Beis Hamikdash, when it's going to be rebuilt, that means we're going to have a very exceptional high level of Hashem's presence in this world. That's what the Beis Hamikdash is. That exceptional presence of Hashem, that unusual, that unprecedented presence, is going to first come into the Beis Hamikdash of Golos, and then from there it'll travel to Yerushalayim, and we'll see the physical structure will be in Yerushalayim. That's what the Rebbe says. And that's why the Rebbe also said that the 770s gematria paratzta. Number one, paratzta means you will spread out. Paratzta yom of akedim tzafayim v'negba. This is the place where the energy to spread chassidus and yiddishkeit will spread out from here. But paratzta is also connected to Mashiach, because in the Chumash it says that Yehuda, his wife, gave birth to two children, and one of them was called Peretz, and Mashiach has a descendant of Yehuda from the son that's called Peretz. And why is he called Peretz? Because he said the words Lama Paratzta Alecha Peretz, which means, why did you, Paratzta means breaking the boundaries, breaking the rules. Basically, there were two babies that were born, and the other baby was supposed to come out first, and this baby ran ahead. So Paratzta means you broke the order. And that's what Mashiach is going to do. He's going to break the barriers of Golos and the normal order. It was an interesting sicha. This was the Rebbe had come back from the Ohel, and the Rebbe gave the sicha, and then the Rebbe davened Ma'ariv, and the Rebbe had prepared to give out a special pamphlet. I was going to bring it with me, and I forgot. Special pamphlet that was printed in honor of the 50th year of Chav Ches Sivan. It was a red pamphlet in a plastic with a dollar for tzedakah. The Rebbe gave every single person such a pamphlet. What happened, seemingly the Rebbe was at the Ohel for a very long time. The Rebbe was late at night. So it seems that the Rebbe's secretaries wanted to give the Rebbe a chance to rest a little bit. Because after being at the Ohel all day, now it's late at night, and then to give this out will be another few hours. So they told the Rebbe that the pamphlet, it hasn't yet arrived from the printer. We need some more time. So maybe there'll be a little break now, and then the Rebbe will come back to give out the pamphlet. So the Gabe called out, he announced that now there's going to be a hefsek. Hefsek means there'll be a break. And then after that, the Rebbe will give out these pamphlets. So the Rebbe smiled, and the Rebbe said, well, instead of making a break, a hefsek, which means an interruption and a break and cutting off, we'd rather make a hemshech, a continuation. If we have extra time, I might as well say a sikh, and the Rebbe started to talk again. So they didn't gain anything. You see, I mean, the Rebbe didn't run to rest and to relax and to sit down. They gave the Rebbe this lot of time to, so to speak, be able to rest a little bit. And the Rebbe said, we have extra time, I'll talk more. Then the pamphlets came very quickly. But during this time, the Rebbe spoke again about the subject. What the Rebbe added in this piece was something very powerful. And the Rebbe said that the Eibishter wants that we should be partners in bringing Mashiach. In other words, just like serving Hashem in general, just like making this world into a dwelling place in general, if the Eibishter, if what Hashem wants that we transform this world into, if Hashem wants this world to be transformed into a dwelling place, and that's what it's all about, to take a physical world and change it, so why are we spending so many thousands of years? Hashem can do it so easily. Create a world, physical existence, and the next second transform it and make it into a spiritual world, and mission accomplished. Why are we working so hard? And the answer is, it's not only that he wanted the physical world to be transformed, but the main point is he wanted the physical world transformed through our Avodah. Those words, through our Avodah, are the key words. Otherwise, Hashem could just do it and everything would be happening in a moment. So the whole point is that Hashem wants us to do it. Now the real truth is, he's still doing it. Even now that we're doing it, could we do anything ourselves? He gives us strength, he gives us life, he gives us the ability to do it, he gives us the desire to do it, he gives us the opportunity to do it. But nevertheless, it's happening and being channeled through our Avodah. To use a simple analogy, if you would ask an ordinary, observant Jew that believes in Hashem, and you say to him, where are you getting parnasa from? Where's your sustenance coming from? Say, from Hashem. Yeah, but I know you go to work and you work hard. At the end of the week, you get a check and you get paid, and then you take that money and you buy food. So basically, you're the one that's producing it. You're accomplishing this through all the work that you put in. Or if somebody goes to a field, the way it was in the olden days, you work in the field, and that's how you get your wheat, or you get your vegetables, or you get your fruits, and that's how you have food to eat. In the desert, the food came down from Shemayim, but now we do it ourselves. Every Jew will tell you, no, Hashem is the one that makes everything happen. So then what is the difference between what happened in the desert and what's happening now? It's all the same. And the answer is, it is all the same. But the difference is, in the desert, it came directly from Hashem. Now, it's channeled through our actions, and it's camouflaged. It appears that it's happening through some sort of order of nature, but in truth, the order of nature and everything we do is also not independent of Hashem. But Hashem wants things to happen in that order, in a way that His presence is hidden, and then we do it. So the same is with the creation of the world in general, that Hashem created a world, and He wants us, through our davening and our learning and our avodah, to transform the world and to become a dwelling place for Hashem. And the same, the Rebbe says, applies to Mashiach. Hashem could just go like that, and Mashiach is here and Gula is here. But Hashem wants us to be part of it and be partners in it. So how are we partners in it? So the Rebbe says Hashem wants a Yid, a Neshama Beguf, not one of the Neshamas that are in Gan Eden. It's not good enough. It has to be a Yid in the physical world. And he has to say that he's excited to announce, he's excited that to say, that the times of redemption has come and that the redemption has already begun. In other words, once we accept it, and we accept it as reality, that is what makes it happen. Like, why is that necessary? If Hashem feels that the time of redemption has come, let him bring Gula, let him bring Mashiach, and it's over. So Hashem wants us to be ready for it. Hashem wants us to be prepared to have it. How we prepared? By us proclaiming and announcing that we're ready for it and we accept it, that makes us prepared. So, like the Rebbe is saying, the reality is already here, but Hashem wants us to declare that we're ready and that we want it. This is similar to the famous story which the Rebbe repeated numerous times, how the Tzemach Tzedek once was asked by his son, the Rebbe Marash, that in the year 1848, it's written somewhere that in that year Mashiach has to come. And the year came and went and Mashiach didn't come. So the Rebbe Marash asked his father, how do you explain this? So his father answered, don't you realize this year the Likutei Torah, which are the Maimorim of the Alter Rebbe, that elaborated so much on concepts of Chassidus, it's the first time that such a book was ever printed. So this is the revelation of godliness that took place in the year 1848. So the Rebbe Marash said to his father, yes, but we want Mashiach, we want him to be here in a physical sense, physically going out of Golas, physically going to Eretz Yisrael, physically having a Beis HaMikdash, and so on. Tzemach Tzedek said, you're right. And the Rebbe explained, what was the dialogue here between them? The Tzemach Tzedek needed the Rebbe Marash to tell him that this is not sufficient, that we're not satisfied with Mashiach coming in a spiritual sense, that more Torah is revealed, we want Mashiach in a very down-to-earth way. And the Rebbe answered that, of course the Tzemach Tzedek knew this, but in Shamayim, they wanted to hear it not from someone like the Tzemach Tzedek, but from an ordinary person. Tzemach Tzedek is a Rebbe. A Rebbe is of a different caliber, and therefore it's not sufficient. It has to be heard from someone who's not a Rebbe, one of us. At that point, the Rebbe Marash, who in the future became a Rebbe, but at that point he wasn't a Rebbe yet, he was somewhat one of us, and it was necessary for him to say verbally, no, we want Mashiach in a Gashmizdik away. There's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov as well, that Baal Shem Tov, one of his students, asked the Baal Shem Tov about traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he gave him permission, but he said, but make sure that if anyone ever asks you a question, you should answer the question properly. Think before you answer. And he went on his journey, stopped off in an island. There are a lot of details to the story, but in this island, there was no one there except for this one person. And this one person got into a conversation with him. And in the conversation, he asked him, so how is it for Yidden in Poland or Ukraine, wherever they live? So he said, Baruch Hashem, things are fine. And then something went wrong with his trip, and he had to come back. He couldn't go to Israel. When it came to the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov told him, I told you to think before you answer. He didn't tell the Baal Shem Tov what happened. He didn't tell him anything. And the Baal Shem Tov said, the person that you met wasn't an ordinary person. The person you met was Avraham Avinu. And there was a time in Shemayim where so much was being demanded for Mashiach to come, and the argument was, the Jews aren't really demanding it so much. Why are you fighting for them? They don't want it so much. They're okay. So Avraham Avinu was sent down that he should hear from the Jews themselves what they really want. So when he came and he said, so how is life in Poland? And he said, Baruch Hashem, it's okay. Basically it meant, we're fine, we can be in Poland another little bit of time. And at that moment, that was the wrong thing to say. So that means that Hashem wants us to be part of it, that we announce and declare that we want Mashiach to come, and want Mashiach to come in a Gashmizik way. And this day, Chav Ches Sivan, is a preparation. This is the day that the Rebbe came to America, even though the Friedrich Rebbe came to America in 1940, but when the Rebbe came to America, that's really when all the activities of the Friedrich Rebbe took on a whole new dimension. And he gave over all the leadership of these activities to the Rebbe, and that's when things began to change, not only in America, but around the globe. So this is Chav Ches Nissen, Chav Ches Sivan, and we see that Chav Ches Sivan is just a few days before Gimel Tammuz. And as we prepare for this day, Chav Ches Sivan, and then a few days later, Gimel Tammuz, so we have to realize that the main emphasis of these days is not just special days, we have to learn more, daven more, do mitzvahs more. These are days that are very, very clearly, directly connected to Bias Mashiach. And these are days that the subject of Mashiach and the desire for Mashiach and the things to do to bring Mashiach come out in a much more pronounced way. And we have to focus on this more than any other time of the year. And obviously, it's a time that's conducive for Mashiach to come. When this Shabbos, we're going to be benching the new month, the month of Tammuz. Whenever the Rebbe speaks about the month of Tammuz, the Rebbe calls it the month of Geula. Why? Because in this month, the Friedrich Rebbe was redeemed from his jail. But if you think of it, it's a little bit unusual to say that, and strange, because Tammuz is actually the beginning of the 3 weeks, and there's a fast day in Tammuz. And throughout the entire history of the Jewish people, the month of Tammuz has a record of unpleasant things happening, and that's why during these 3 weeks we have a special set of rules. Yet the Rebbe calls the month Chodesh Agula. And one of the ways the Rebbe explains this is that the fact that the Friedrich Rebbe went out of jail in Yud Beis Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, it has a very special significance. And that is that ultimately, when Mashiach comes, everything that we went through in Golus, all the suffering and all the negative things will be transformed. We'll see the hidden bracha. And those days that were days of mourning and days of fasting, like Tisha B'Av and the 17th of Tammuz, will actually become the biggest holidays in the history of the Jewish people. Whatever will have, there'll never have been a time where there was so much rejoicing as these days. There'll even be bigger holidays than Pesach and Shavuos, because this will be the time to rejoice 2,000 years of suffering and galus. So the truth is, all along, there's hidden in these days the potential for redemption. It's there. These are the days that when they're transformed, we will see the redemption is hidden in the galus. But it hasn't come out yet until Mashiach comes. So the Rebbe says something really amazing, that when the Friedrich Rebbe was released from jail on Yud Beis Tammuz, that is the beginning of the hidden redemption of these days starting to surface. So actually this month is a month that's designated to have Geula in it, to have Mashiach in it. And therefore, by just referring to it as a month of Geula, and thinking about it as a month of Geula, that has the power to change the month, that instead of being a month and a time of mourning, it'll actually be transformed in a time of rejoicing and a time of celebration. So now more than ever, when Chav Ches Sivan comes around and then Gimel Tammuz comes around, it's all a preparation to realize that this is the time we have to focus on transforming these times into Geula, transforming these times into Mashiach and redemption. And of course, through the ways that the Rebbe taught us, which is through learning about Mashiach Gula, strengthening our Amun in Mashiach Gula, and especially in all the things that the Rebbe said about our times now. Often you hear people say, let's learn about Mashiach Gula, and they'll learn something which is written in Gemara and in Medrash. These are all things the Rebbe told us to learn. But what's most relevant is learning about the Rebbe's message for us now. where we're standing now, and that now is the time the Mashiach has to come, and what is it that we're meant to do now in order to bring Mashiach. And it has all everything to do with our awareness, with our Amunah, strengthening other people's Amunah, and everything the Rebbe told us, that just like the Rebbe came the first time in America, Chav Ches Sivan, and the Rebbe came to America a second time, Chav Ches Sivan, so it would be very appropriate and very suitable that now, in honor of Chav Ches Sivan, the Rebbe come a third time. It would be perfect to come in, and no one's going to have any complaints if he comes on the 26th of Sivan, which is tonight. And by the time Chav Ches Sivan comes, we'll be all settled in, and we'll all be settled in. And by the time Gimel Tammuz comes, it'll be the biggest yontif of ever, and the same with Yud Beis Tammuz and Shavuos Tammuz, and Eved should help that all these things should be fulfilled. Take it from Yad Mamash.